The mellifluous sounds of the symphony float throughout the ballroom. Servants pour golden champagne into the cut crystal glasses. The fabled Cheyne Walk house exudes perfection down to the last detail, nowhere more than in its hostess. There, at the centre of the vast ballroom, stands the stunning, statuesque figure in a floor-length sheath of platinum silk, a shade that echoes her silvery blue eyes. Her diamond-laden arms outstretched in welcome to her guests, she radiates serenity and unflappable, irresistible poise. If she were anyone else, someone I didn't know as intimately as I know myself, I would judge that sphinx-like smile a charade, or worse. But I know she is precisely as she appears, because she is Diana, my sister. I rest my eyes from her and glance around the gleaming gilt and marble ballroom, expansive enough to easily hold the 300 guests in attendance. As the dancers begin to pair up and then organise themselves, the revellers appear to emanate from Diana like the rays of the sun. It is a pattern that has repeated itself since our childhood. She always dazzles at the centre, with us sisters fanned out around her like lesser beams. Never mind that the press considers all six of us Mitford sisters the very essence of the so-called bright young things. She is the star. The evening feels more like a celebration of the fashionable new home of Diana and her handsome, kindly husband, Brian Guinness, than a ball introducing one of our younger sisters, Unity, into society. Where has Unity scampered off to? I wonder as I scan the crowded space for the spectacularly tall 18-year-old. Never one to abide by social dictates, she seems to have disappeared into the background instead of lapping up the attention as would be expected at an event in her honour. Finally, I spot her tucked into a shadowy corner, deep in conversation with our sister Pamela and our one and only brother Tom, that golden boy of ours. Of my six siblings, that leaves out only Jessica and Deborah, but they're too young to mingle in society. Even though she pretends to be listening, Unity is clearly watching the other partygoers rather than engaging with Tom and Pamela. At least here at Cheyne Walk, she won't be required to curtsy twice and retreat backward, as she had to do before the King and Queen when she came out at Buckingham Palace. Poor Bobo, as we call her among ourselves, is not known for her grace, and we sisters had clutched one another's hands and held our breath until she'd completed the act without tripping and catapulting herself into one of their Majesty's laps. Even then, she barely managed the feat without several awkward lunges and an initial backward step where her heel caught on her hem, sending a horrific tearing sound throughout the famous receiving room. A shimmer of silver crosses the ballroom, and I observe Diana sashaying through the crowds. I think how alike Diana and Unity appear from a distance, both tall with their features blurred and blonde hair flashing. Not so upon close inspection, and not only because Diana wears a seamless column of silver, while Unity sports a grey and white gown that is somehow ill-fitting despite numerous trips to the tailor. For the millionth time, I give thanks that I was born with jet black hair and green eyes instead of blue. I'd never want to come up wanting by comparison to Diana. The music pauses, and I see Evelyn Waugh across the expanse. Delight and warmth course through me at the sight of my dear friend. Only the appearance of my unofficial fiancé would bring me greater happiness. But I know that's impossible, as Hamish declared himself unavailable for this particular function, providing yet another reason for my parents, whom we call Muv and Farth, to dislike him, apart from the multi-year, oft-delayed nature of our engagement.
"What plans could your fey fiancé have made," Farth wondered aloud, using a most derogatory description, "that prevented him from attending the ball of his fiancé's sister?"